This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Calvary, and good morning, New Every Day. God bless you. I'm Lawrence Cruz, and I'm very privileged to be looking at this amazing book here. It's called From Eternity to Eternity. It's a notebook and study guide written by a gentleman by the name of Craig F. Pitts. And what do you know? He happens to be right here beside me today. Hey, come on, live guest. Why don't you welcome him in the studio today?
Thank you.
It's wonderful. We're live on location here at Calvary Community Church in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. So a good shout out to you all over the world. I know many Americans are watching. And yes, we are looking, well, it's not too much snow here today. We made it, and it's a little warmer than usual. What do you know?
Well, it's Canada.
Pastor Craig, it's a delight to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Cruz. It's good to be here, and I think we're in for a good time looking at this subject.
I believe that we are. Now, you didn't come here alone. I understand in the studio audience today, we have someone else with you. Who did you come with?
My lovely wife, Dorothy, is with me. 48 years we've been together, married, and we're still on our
honeymoon. 48 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And sorry, what was that last comment?
I said we're still on our honeymoon. Absolutely. Yeah,
sure. Well, that's great. So thrilled. Well, we're concluding a series here at Calvary on Hell is No Laughing Matter. And this booklet has so many amazing questions and great answers that succinctly talk to us about this subject. So let's dive right in here, and I'm going to read this question. Does hell in the Bible simply mean the grave, Pastor?
You know, that's an important question because a lot of people want to make it only mean the grave. There are cults that would say that when the Bible talks about hell, it's just talking about disintegrating into nothingness. It's just the grave, and that's all it is. There are actually two words for hell that we know of. The Hebrew word is Sheol, the Greek word is Hades, and it does mean a place of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a difference between just hell by itself and the lake of fire, because the Bible talks about the lake of fire. And so, yes, there is a place of the dead. We are all destined to die, but after that, the judgment. And after the judgment, where are you going to spend eternity? And so we all, a very interesting question I used to ask, who lives forever? Believers in God or non-believers? And the answer would often, it was kind of a trick question, because
people
say, oh, believers in God, they're the ones who live forever. No, actually the fact is everyone lives forever.
Right.
Everyone. We are eternal souls that are conscious and live forever. The question is, where will you live forever?
Mm.
Will you live forever in the presence of God, or will you live forever outside of the presence of God? And so that's why we, as evangelicals and understanding the Word of God, we differentiate between the rapture and the resurrection.
Hmm.
The rapture is when our physical bodies will literally ascend into heaven and be changed, and this mortal puts on immortality, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. But the resurrection it's about our body. The body that would be buried in the grave will be resurrected, like Jesus' body was put in the grave. It will be resurrected. In other words, there will be a physical body forever and ever, both for believers and non-believers.
Okay, that's
the point. Physical bodies.
Now, that's what I see here. So it says, so the death of the body and the soul never dies, and yet there will be this new body, which is forever and forever and forever. Is that right?
Everyone will be resurrected. Jesus said that Some will be resurrected to life, others to death. The word death is worth looking at, too.
Right, it sure
because,
is.
Because if I was to define the word death, I would put it in one single word, separation. Death is separation. That's why there are times that we could use the word a death of a friendship. And it doesn't mean that anyone died physically. Mm-hmm. It means that something happened that separated us as friends. The word death is a separation. And when it's physical death, there's a separation of my soul from my body. When someone dies and we have a funeral, we say this person, I mean, their body is there, but we say they have left us. Well, what are we saying? There's been a separation. The Bible says in James, the body without the spirit is dead.
Right.
Okay. So when there's a separation of spirit and body, it's death. Well, if there's eternal death, that's separation from God. And Jesus saved us from eternal death and brought us into eternal life, which is awareness of God.
Absolutely. Pastor, this is beautiful. Yeah. And the 3 weeks previous, there was a couple of times in the series where I was privileged to be speaking, and I said, if you get one thing out of the teaching, and you who are watching today, if you get one thing about this subject of hell, it involves being separated from a most loving, wonderful, gracious, kind God.
That's a horrible thought, isn't it?
It's the most horrible. And I have found in my years of being a Christian and addressing the subject again, reading your wonderful book, it's true. Really, if we wrap our minds around that concept that hell is separation from God, I find that it helps to understand so much more about the broader subject.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is for sure. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a delight to have with us Pastor Craig Pitts here with us live on site at Calvary Community Church. And what an exciting episode this is today. We're carrying on with another question. This is interesting. So we think about, some people might do this. Oh, heaven is God's domain. Well, hell, well, that's the devil's place. And here's the question. Does Satan rule as the king and the chief host as hell, Pastor?
That's a very good question because, do you know, I actually have heard people say, I'd rather go to hell than heaven.
Yeah, and they think, all my friends are there, they say, right?
What a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
As if, and then they have this picture of the devil that he somehow is the king of hell, that he runs around with his little demons in red leotards and pitchforks, you know, and poking everybody and laughing with glee that they finally got them there,
right,
making them miserable forever. Hell wasn't even made for people.
Okay,
it was made for the devil. Jesus said that very clearly in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. He said the devil was actually created for, I mean, hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Right.
It's just that if you reject Jesus, if you're not born again from the Spirit of God and you're separated from God, then you get what the devil gets, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a horrible thing. Now, I wrote another book here that this has not been published, except in Russian it's been published. But I'd like to just read a little bit.
Are you going to read in Russian to us now, Pastor?
No, I'm going to read in English.
And we would appreciate that. At least I would.
And this was about the devil. I said this. The book, by the way, the title of the book is called The Seven Defeats of Satan. And it shows his history from beginning to end in the lake of fire. And so this is the end, okay?
Yes.
I said, truly it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The day is coming when in the courts of heaven, the righteous judge of the universe will slam his gavel in final judgment. Satan's armies will literally be devoured. That's the word that's used in Revelation 20 and verse 9.
Devoured.
Devoured, consumed, eaten up, gulped down, and destroyed by the intensely ferocious fire of God's righteous anger.
Yeah.
Now, Satan comes to his final and painful end. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There are several incredible lies, I'm reading from my book now, that have been prevailing over the years regarding Satan and the fires of hell.
Okay, this is good. So you're going to unearth some things that are not true. This is good.
One lie is that Satan invented hell as a kind of house of horror for those he hates and wishes to torment. It's as if hell is somehow the home where he lives with his demented demons. They are filled with villainous glee as more souls are added to their evil dungeon. Mm-hmm. They stoke the fires and party over the pathetic carcasses of lost souls. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
Right.
The fact is, Satan did not create hell. God did.
Wow.
Jesus clearly said hell was the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
So who created hell?
Jesus said God did. Jesus did.
Wow.
So remember this. Satan is not the king of hell. He is the great prisoner of it. Hell was made specifically for him and his dark angel followers who dared to attempt to usurp the throne of God.
Mm.
Think of it. Satan is destined to languish in hell. He will suffer beyond description. He will be tormented in excruciating agony forever and ever in endless eternity. Furthermore, as if that's not humiliating enough,
mm-hmm.
the Bible indicates, this is interesting, that God will actually put this personification of evil on display.
Right.
In Ezekiel 28, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub,
mm-hmm.
from the midst of the fiery stones. I cast you to the ground and laid you before kings that they might gaze upon you. This is the point of Scripture that often surprises people.
Yes.
That at the same, at the same time, it troubles them, actually, that the redeemed in glory could actually look into hell. It seems preposterous,
mm-hmm.
but the Bible indicates that in several places. However, there are a number of references throughout Scripture that seem to point to the fact that the pit of hell will be open. It will be an eternal memorial to Christ's victory over evil. It will be a lesson of the righteous judgment of a holy God and an everlasting deterrent to all who will be born into the new earth. The Bible also describes an observation balcony from which those who are suffering the eternal consequences of spurning God's love will be exposed. And this is interesting. Isaiah 66, it says, they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. Their worm does not die. Their fire is not quenched. Not only that, we're going to look down and we're going to see Satan as we see this amazing museum of God's judgment. We'll see Satan will scratch our heads and wonder. This is what the Bible says. He won't be the monster that we expected. There will not be the slightest sign of power or strength left in him. Instead, Satan will be groveling in agony among the burning coals of hell as a pathetic specimen of weakness and disdain. To our utter amazement, we'll be asking, how could this worm have caused such trouble and turmoil on the earth?
Oh my goodness.
In the words of Isaiah the prophet, your pomp has brought you to the ground. And then later on it says, those who see you will gaze at you and consider, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble and shook the kingdoms? Like, that's awesome.
Incredible.
Like, we'll say, you mean that's Satan? And he'll be groving. So, no, the answer, Satan is not the king of hell.
Yeah.
For sure. He is the prisoner of it.
Well, that's a very thorough answer, and I loved every word. Thank you so much. Hey, live audience, can I hear your amen to that? Isn't that awesome?
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Well, you know, Satan's strength and power compared to God's is like holding a dying candle wick to the sun. Like,
right.
There's just no comparison.
I just love it. Yeah. That's a great message for us to take away today. It's God that we need to fear, not the devil.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Oh, listen, make no mistake. I don't walk around, you know, paying no respect to the devil and his power. No, he's real.
Oh, and he's powerful.
And he's powerful. But we who are in Christ, right?
Greater is he.
Go ahead, Pastor. Say that verse again.
Than he that is in the world.
Amen. So we have nothing to fear, not only throughout all of eternity, but even here on earth. We can appropriate that same power and make it real in our life. See, that? I should probably just go. I could go home now just with that alone, Pastor.
Well,
but we've got more.
Okay. What else are we talking about?
Wonderful. This is another great question. Why doesn't God simply separate the bad from the good? I see that, why must hell be a place of torment?
Why does it have to be such a sad place? If you're going to be separated from God, why not just separate it from God and leave it at that?
Sure.
Well, that's like asking why a room without light and heat must be dark and cold. You know, because that's just outside of God's presence itself is a place of horror, of disdain. Imagine, in fact, just imagine if you were pushed into a room with the worst criminals and bad people and people that could care less about you. They'd swear and curse and knock you around and everything. And you had to spend a long time in a room with that kind of people, mm-hmm. live with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell is going to be filled with those kinds of people. Not everyone bad that goes to hell. They've just rejected Jesus. But remember, sin is separation from God. And imagine the confinement with people who've been angry, selfish, brutal, thoughtless, uncaring, hate-filled, vile. And hell, by its own inhabitants, is a place of torment.
Right.
Whether there's, you know, you talk about fire in hell or anything like that. And then also, real torment doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside.
Oh my.
The real torment, I think of hell, comes from the heart, the mind, the spirit. I could have, but I didn't.
Mm.
I should have. I had the chance, but I blew it, you know? And forever and ever thinking, I could have. Remember the story of King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 when Paul was preaching. And Agrippa says, almost you persuaded me to become a Christian.
Yeah, almost.
Remember this. To be almost saved is to be entirely lost.
Oh, my.
And that is a real sobering thought.
Oh.
I heard the gospel, but I ignored it.
Pastor, friends, if you are watching by TV, by internet, those of you in live audience here this morning, listen, today is a good day for you not to be almost in the kingdom.
Mm.
Today is a great day, even where you are, right in your room or in this place, to say, God, that's it. I get it. You're kind. You're gracious. You love me. The offer of your salvation is extended to me right now. Friend, why don't you right now reach out to Jesus? And I tell you what, on the authority of God's word, do you agree? Mm-hmm. As those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. It's good. Well, what a subject we're into. Pastor, can we move on to another one? I don't want to. I know you've got such a wealth of information on this subject.
This is great.
Well, how could a God of love? I hear this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
How could a God of love send anyone to hell? Let me ask you, live audience, have you ever heard that question before?
All the time.
Maybe you've even asked it. That's a good question. What would you say to that, Pastor?
That's an interesting question. I just had Jehovah's Witnesses at my door yesterday.
Yes.
And they told me the same thing. They said, there is no hell. Because a God of love wouldn't do that. That's like saying a judge who's righteous wouldn't send a rapist and criminal and a murderer and a wicked man. He wouldn't be that nasty to send him to jail, would he?
Mm.
You know, it's not a matter of being nasty. It's a matter of being just.
Right.
And God is not only God of love, but he's God of justice.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, this might sound funny, but it is because God is love that there is a hell. Imagine a doctor who understands medicine, who understands contagious diseases, and someone comes in with a terribly contagious disease. What does a good doctor do? If he's a good doctor, there's a room called an isolation room. Mm-hmm. Why does he do that? That mean old guy, he makes that guy go in the isolation room and he can't mix with other people. Why, that doctor's a bad doctor.
Hey, I have my rights, you know.
He's not a bad doctor. He's a good doctor. He understands the contamination that would infect others. I would call hell God's contamination ward, where those who are contaminated with sin will not be allowed into his heaven. This world is contaminated enough. And God says the day is coming when you will come to a place that has no contamination at all. And so because God is love, he's isolated those who have been contaminated with sin, who would not let the blood of the Lord Jesus wash that contamination away. See, we can get rid of the contamination now, but only through the blood of the Lord Jesus.
So who decides, Pastor? Who decides whether or not they remain contaminated?
I guess we decide ourselves. That's why in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, choose life. Don't choose death.
Yeah, praise the
Lord. We make our choices now. And remember this, you live with your choices. Whether it's through this life now, some people have made bad choices and they look back even on this life and they regret the choices they
made. My hand is up. Thanks for bringing me into it. Yes, I've made my series of
bad
choices.
But imagine making a choice that seals your destiny for all of eternity.
And praise God, I got to raise my hand there because I've made that good decision too.
I did.
Amen.
Too.
Did you?
68 years ago, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I remember the day.
Praise the Lord.
It was yesterday.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, I'm glad I made that choice.
I got to say something. You are looking good, man. I got to tell you, 68 years ago is when you accepted Christ.
That's when
I
asked
you must
Jesus.
Be at least 69, then.
Yeah, so, you're right.
We'll just leave it there. How about that?
I'm well into my 3 score and 10.
Three score and 10. Yeah. My goodness, and looking great, too. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. I was talking earlier. I could go on and love it, but we can do this more. And perhaps people you can send in, you who are watching, if you have a question, you'd like to further ask a question, you can ask that of Jeff and I, and we'd be happy to do our best to answer them or get you in touch with resources that can answer them, including Pastor Craig himself. Well, isn't that an interesting subject to talk about? What a man filled with grace, isn't he? I just enjoy the man Craig Pitt so much. He's tried and true, and equally so his wife. Just beautiful man and woman of God. Well, I hope that you enjoyed listening to this most relevant subject about hell. I'm glad to tell you that we're going to do this again, all over again next week. So stay tuned and check in again next week as we hear part two of this wonderful topic called hell.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB TV Channel 33, television for the high desert.